Hello, listeners, and welcome to Northland Views. Ya ate? This is a program brought to you by Sun Sounds of Northern Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Mary McGrarty Nishley. Today we'll be reading from the Navajo Times and the Navajo Hopi Observer. Let's begin with the story from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, December 10th, first published online on December 5th. Headline: Navajo Nation faces critical ARPA, that is American Rescue Plan Act, fund deadline with key budgetary concerns. This is by Donovan Quintero. Dateline, Window Rock. As the Navajo Nation approaches the December 31st deadline to expend $1.4 billion in American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA, funds, officials are racing to resolve budget deficits and ensure that projects meet federal compliance standards. A detailed financial report dated October 4th outlines expenditures, encumbrances, and remaining allocations across key funding agencies. Key funding categories. Central agency. The Navajo Nation's central agency has advanced numerous community projects aimed at improving infrastructure, health care, and essential services. A recent status report sourced from the Navajo Nation Fiscal Recovery Fund website highlights over 60 approved projects across the agency's chapters, including Many Farms, Low Mountain, and Naslini. Central agency's ARPA-funded initiatives represent significant investments in critical infrastructure and community services. Chin Lee's chapter approval projects include a new warehouse, $1.2 million, a wellness center, $700,000, bathroom additions, $6.7 million, and addressing long-standing infrastructure gaps. Many Farms chapter's funding includes $750,000 for bathroom additions, $500,000 for HVAC systems, and $1.5 million for water conservation efforts and emphasizing basic utilities and environmental sustainability. Low Mountains chapter's projects, such as elderly bathroom makeovers for $8.7 million and waterline extensions, $1.6 million, aimed to improve living conditions for residents. Naslini chapter's funding allocations include $150,000 for a cemetery, $350,000 for a warehouse, $450,000 for a community meeting building, and expanding communal spaces and essential facilities. The report confirms that many projects have been deemed eligible by the Navajo Nation Department of Justice and the Comptroller's Office. Oversight responsibilities are divided among divisions, including the Division of Community Development and the Division of Natural Resources. Significant projects like ARPA-funded bathroom additions and waterline upgrades have progressed to the approval stage. These developments indicate that despite early delays in fund deployment, progress is accelerating as the year-end deadline approaches. While progress is evident, some projects remain in the ready-for-legislation stage, requiring coordination between the Navajo Nation Council and relevant divisions. For instance, a $20 million allocation for demolition and rehabilitation in Blue Gap, Ta'achi, and additional water projects in Naslini are still awaiting legislative approval. Fort Defiance Agency. Fort Defiance Agency has made strides in addressing infrastructure gaps, housing needs, and essential services for chapters like Coyote Canyon, Tisto, and Crystal. Coyote Canyon chapter has $800,000 allocated for housing assistance and $35,000 for a chapter renovation project. Tisto chapter has $1.5 million for housing repairs and weatherization and $1.4 million for home replacements. While progress is evident, some projects remain ready for legislation. For instance, funding for a warehouse and fire suppression water tank installation in Crystal awaits action. The Fort Defiance Agency has allocated over $8.8 million, with the majority of projects approved and eligible. However, approximately $1.3 million remains unallocated, and $11 million in pending projects exceed available allocations. Northern Agency. Northern Agency has focused ARPA investments on housing, sanitation, and infrastructure improvements. Shiprock Chapter has $1.3 million allocated to the Tse Bita'ai Recreation Park, with additional funding for housing renovations at $1 million, mobile home projects, and veterans housing archaeological clearances. Cove Chapter has $1.5 million for a chapter warehouse and $600,000 for septic system improvements. Western Agency. The Western Agency is working on critical infrastructure, housing, and public service projects. Kayenta Chapter has $817,669 for a pipeline extension and $1.1 million for warehouse development. Chilchinbito Chapter has funding for septic tank cleaning, housing renovations, and modular homes. Loop Chapter has $287,868 for chapter house renovations and $2 million for a multi-purpose building. While $38 million in ARPA-funded projects has been approved, the $5.8 million in pending projects and an $8.5 million budget deficit highlight urgent funding gaps. Summary of allocations and expenditures. The Navajo Nation's $2 billion ARPA allocation has been distributed across divisions for infrastructure, economic growth, and community welfare. Delays in project execution threatened the full utilization of funds before the federal deadline of December 31st, after which unspent funds must be returned. Efforts to fast-track approvals, finalize encumbrances, and address budgetary concerns remain ongoing, with regular updates available through the Navajo Nation Fiscal Recovery Fund website. A related article from the Navajo Times of December 10th. This is also by Donovan Quintero, published online December 5th. Dateline, also Window Rock. The Navajo Nation is making headway in the encumbrance of funds from the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA, yet significant hurdles remain and threaten the effective deployment of these vital resources. An analysis of the financial breakdown and technical information from the Navajo Nation Fiscal Recovery website as of October 9th reveals a mixed picture of progress, with systemic inefficiencies posing risks to timely fund utilization. Despite substantial portions of ARPA funds being allocated, many projects are still in the ready-for-legislation phase or have stalled due to administrative and logistical challenges. This indicates that while the Navajo Nation is progressing, inefficiencies within bureaucratic processes are hindering the swift use of these critical funds. The analysis highlights stark disparities in how different agencies are handling funds. For example, central and northern agencies have made significant strides with numerous approved projects moving towards completion. In contrast, the eastern and western agencies are experiencing notable delays, with millions of dollars in funds remaining unencumbered or pending final approvals. This inconsistency reflects varying levels of administrative capacity and coordination across agencies. With a looming December 31st deadline, unspent or unencumbered funds risk being returned to the federal government. Agencies such as Eastern and Western, which are grappling with budget shortfalls and delayed projects, are particularly vulnerable to losing these essential resources. While the Navajo Nation has made progress in encumbering ARPA funds aimed at high-priority community projects, systemic inefficiencies and uneven implementation pose significant risks to fully using these funds by the federal deadline. To address these challenges, the nation must expedite legislative approvals for pending projects, tackle administrative bottlenecks, and improve coordination among oversight divisions and contractors. Failure to address these issues promptly could lead to substantial forfeiture of funds and missed opportunities to meet critical needs, jeopardizing the health and well-being of Navajo residents. For more information, you may consult https://frf.navajo-nsn.gov. Now, some stories from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, December 4th. Here's one from page one. Headline, Grassroots Organization 20 Years on the Job to Remove Uranium Tailings from Homelands. This is by Alexandra Wittenberg for the Navajo Hopi Observer. Bertha Nez was born in a hogan built by her grandfather in 1944 in the Redwater community, 15 miles north of Church Rock, New Mexico. She has lived there her whole life, and her umbilical cord is even buried in her family's old sheep corral on the property. In 1979, Church Rock became known as the site of the largest radioactive spill in U.S. history. Long-term residents like Edith Hood remember those who trudged through the contaminated areas with their sheep and cattle. The humans got sores on their legs. The sheep and cattle died. Now, Edith, Bertha, and Bertha's niece, Jennifer Nez, are part of the Redwater Pond Road Community Organization, trying to spread awareness about the nuclear disaster and work to remove the uranium tailings pile from their sacred homeland. The trio spoke at a documentary screening, The Atomic Legacy on Route 66, that took place in Winslow and Flagstaff on October 21st and 22nd, along with documentary filmmaker Katrina Parks. In the documentary, Edith shares her experience working in the Church Rock mine before the spill, where she took measurements underground before and after uranium blasts each day. She recalls a little safety protocol and mine workers drinking water coming off the pillars of the mine if there wasn't any water in the lunchroom. 20 years after she left the mine, Edith found she had lymphoma, a blood cancer. Many of the group's family and friends have died early from exposure to uranium from the mines and uranium spills. An astounding number of area children developed asthma from walking to the school bus stop and taking the bus, which follows along the route of the uranium haul. When we first found out that we were contaminated, we went to Navajo Nation, our leaders, but they couldn't do anything, so we had to fend for ourselves, Hood said. Though one attempted cleanup did occur, there are leftover uranium tailings that never did get properly disposed of, the group has said. 10 years ago, they scraped 10 inches of soil from the ground, just scraped the whole area, and then revegetated the soil with plants that we are not accustomed to, plants that are not part of our environment, Jennifer said. Edith said all the trees are gone, and where there used to be prairie dogs and snakes on the property, now there are just spiders. Jennifer said her mother and Bertha had to be relocated to a different home for the cleanup and were told they could move back in 2 to 4 years, but they don't believe the area is actually clean and won't feel safe moving back. There are also issues with the trucks being able to legally dispose of the uranium tailings because of Navajo Nation laws about not hauling toxic waste. The group hopes that the waste can be moved to the Red Rock landfill, which is where the area municipal waste goes, and there are no homes within a one-mile radius. The Redwater Pond Road Community Association have advocates in the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, Southwest Research Information Center, and New Mexico Environmental Law Center. They said anyone is welcome to come to their meetings and show support. Every July 16th and 17th for over 40 years, the affected families walk to the uranium site spill and say healing prayers for the anniversary of the 1979 Church Rock nuclear disaster. We have 50 families that have been impacted by the mine and by the cleanup, Jennifer said. There's four generations that this has affected. Another story related to the nuclear Cold War era on Navajo. This is in the Congress column. Headline, advocates urge lame duck house to resume payments to downwinders. This is by Kyle Dunphy of the Utah News-Dispatch. Dozens of groups from 17 states and territories are urging Congress to reauthorize payments to downwinders before the end of the year. On November 12th, Congress entered a lame duck session, the period in between Election Day and the start of a new congressional term. And before new lawmakers are sworn in, advocates are hoping the House will vote on a bill that passed the Senate earlier this year to expand the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, RECA, or RECA, which offers payments to people sickened by nuclear weapons testing, known as downwinders. Congress already has a lot on its plate. Before December 20th, it needs to approve new spending bills to avoid a government shutdown. It needs to pass an annual defense bill, and it will likely need to replenish the FEMA account in the wake of recent hurricanes and related damage. The House needs to accomplish all that in just 18 days, but advocates are hoping it can also schedule a vote on Senate Bill 3853, a bill sponsored by Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley, which passed the Senate in March after a 69-30 vote. This year, Congress failed us when it failed to improve RECA and allowed it to expire. But it's not too late to make it right and pass Senate 3853 now, reads an open letter to Congress signed last month by groups from all over the country, including Utah-based Downwinders, Incorporated, Healthy Environment Alliance of Utah, Latter-day Saint Earth Stewardship, Utah Downwinders, and Utah Physicians for a Healthy Environment. In addition to people from Utah, groups from Arizona, Arkansas, California, Georgia, Guam, Idaho, Maryland, Missouri, Navajo Nation, New Mexico, New York, Ohio, Oregon, Tennessee, Virginia, and Washington all signed the letter. In the letter penned on Wednesday, the groups pushed back on the notion that the House should axe certain locations that would be eligible for compensation under Hawley's bill. Some have callously said that we should kick some communities out of our legislation for the sake of political expediency. But we are not willing to turn our backs on our dying friends and loved ones in other parts of the country, and Congress members who ask us to do so should be ashamed, the letter reads. There is no fiscal excuse not to support justice for all of our communities. Now, some good news for the Navajo Hopi Observer. Also from the Navajo Hopi Observer, page 1, Navajo Hopi Observer Williams Grand Canyon News snags 16 awards at the 2023-24 Best Newspapers Contest. The Arizona Newspaper Association has awarded the Navajo Hopi Observer and Williams Grand Canyon News with 16 awards in the 2023-24 Better Newspapers Contest, Division 3. The Navajo Hopi Observer received 10 awards for Special Section Magazine for Best News Story, for Best Sports Story, for Best Narrative Work, for Best News Photograph, for Best Sports Photograph, and for Best Feature Photograph. All of those received by Alexandra Wittenberg of the Navajo Hopi Observer. The Williams Grand Canyon News received 10 other awards. We congratulate all the winners and wish them good luck continuing their important work. Now, more on media from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, December 4th on page 3. Headline, Navajo Woman is Rising Star at NASA in Social Media. The first words spoken by Tara Roanhorse about her NASA internship were a traditional Navajo greeting, Ya'ate shike do shidine, Hello, my friends and relatives. My name is Tara Roanhorse. I am of Irish heritage, born for the Black Streak Wooded people. My maternal grandfather is of Irish heritage, and my paternal grandfather is of the Bitterwater people. I am from Kimberling City, Missouri. In this way, I am a Navajo woman. As an intern in NASA's Office of STEM Engagement, Roanhorse is responsible for helping to reach audiences via social media to get NASA STEM resources into as many hands as possible and ensure potential interns know there's a place for them at NASA, at NASA's National Aeronautic and Space Administration's Kennedy Space Center. Since the beginning, she's been led by her native heritage as a Diné woman. She's familiar with what it means to feel like an outsider. Indigenous people and women aren't very represented strongly in the STEM spaces, so it felt like a long shot when I applied, said Roanhorse. Aside from my time at my tribal university, I'm often the only Indigenous person in the room. As a STEM communications intern, Roanhorse's work includes writing blogs about current and former interns, creating content, and providing support for social media accounts, and supporting wherever she can with helping to create engaging and informative content across her whole team. I really enjoy being able to create things that help put STEM in people's hands as a way that they can understand, Roanhorse said. There are so many great resources out there for kids, adults, tribes, and schools that haven't traditionally been so accessible for them. So my personal goal is to help everyone be able to access the work that's being done. Be willing to try something new and scary. Every day I get the chance to do something different, expanding my knowledge in the best possible way, she said. And while imposter syndrome is so real, you were meant for great things. You are your ancestors' wildest dreams come true. No one has the experiences, outlook, or ideas that you have. You are unique, and you have something to contribute to the world and to NASA's missions. Interested people can find more information about NASA's internship program at intern.nasa.gov. We wish all who are interested in possible internships much good luck as they go forward applying. Now, some changes at an institution known to some listeners and their families, perhaps, from the community page of the Navajo Hopi Observer. Headline, NAU renames two campus hubs. This is for the Navajo Hopi Observer. Two new campus names were unveiled at Northern Arizona University's Stew Fest November 1st, marking the beginning of Native American Heritage Month. The Division of the Office of Native American Initiatives was renamed to the Office of Native American and Indigenous Advancement, and the Native American Cultural Center building was renamed to the Cultural Center for Native American and Indigenous Futures. These two names came at the request of Indigenous students, staff, and faculty. To be more inclusive, the new names were intentionally and carefully developed during a 9-month process, which included 4 forums open to students, staff, faculty, alumni, and the Flagstaff community, followed by a months-long open survey and multiple meetings with the Native American Advisory Board, donors, and the Office of the President. We are grateful to the two names that came before and honor their legacy, said Anne-Marie Chischilly, Vice President of the Office of Native American and Indigenous Advancement at NAU. As we move forward, we know the new names that were blessed will continue to welcome both our Native American and our Indigenous communities and bring harmony, opportunities, kinship, and hope. Chischilly said the Center for Native American and Indigenous Futures will always be a home away from home for the growing community of students, employees, and surrounding residents to study, nourish themselves, socialize, access critical services, work in the computer lab, and attend cultural events. For 2 years in a row now, NAU has welcomed record-breaking numbers of Native American and Indigenous students representing 110 tribal nations, Alaskan villages, and Hawaiian and Polynesian communities. We wish all of these groups continued growth on campus and success in their studies at NAU and in the careers they might pursue there and afterwards. Good luck. Now, a headline that we may take up more next time. Navajo Nation modernizes with $31 million enterprise resource planning. This is by Native News Online. A transformative step toward efficiency and modernization took place Friday, November 22nd, as Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin signed a $31 million contract to implement an Enterprise Resource Planning, ERP, system. This is a historic moment for the Navajo Nation and Indian Country, President Nigrin said. To meet the demands of a global world, our government must embrace modern technology to improve efficiency, transparency, and effectiveness. Powered by Arctic Information Technology and Microsoft Dynamics, the ERP system will replace outdated, fragmented processes by consolidating data, eliminating excessive paperwork, and streamlining operations in key areas such as finance, human resources, and tribal census management. A leap into the digital era. Navajo Nation Controller Sean McCabe emphasized the significance of this change for a government serving more than 400,000 people and employing 4,000 staff members. This modernization is about enhancing internal operations and delivering better services, McCabe said. After 20 years of patchwork systems, it's time for an overhaul. ERP will make accounting and payments significantly faster and more efficient. McCabe described the system's capacity to track payments and personnel actions with ease, cutting through long-standing bureaucratic delays. This is a shift from quantity to quality, he said. By letting the system handle routine tasks, our employees can focus on more meaningful work. And by reducing consulting fees, we expect to save millions annually. Good news for the Navajo Nation, and we wish them success with this implementation. Ahyehye, listeners, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening to Northland Views, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Northern Arizona. Mary McGrarty Nishley, your volunteer reader, Ahyehye and Hagone for now.